There are many things to reflect on this feast day, and especially on this gospel. One, God loves generations. History, his plan for salvation, takes place through generation. So we have generation, generation, generation. It's very important to God. This is why, as Jesus told someone, the sin that most makes me angry and sad is abortion. See, God has a plan. Suppose St. Anne had aborted Mary. You see? So we go through this history to arrive ultimately at the living, eternal, incarnate Son of God in flesh. We're always trying to get out of flesh, you know, like too tired, hungry. And God became flesh. So the church takes this list. It's stylized, Matthew's list. You know what I mean? One of the interesting things is, you see, that the women in the list, there's always something wrong with them. Tamar played the prostitute. That's how she got Jacob to finally give her another son after Onan had died. Huh? Ruth was a Moabite, which means that our Lord's line is not pure Jewish, which is interesting. Bathsheba. And Solomon was born of Bathsheba. In other words, we celebrate this feast of the flower of our race, you know, the pure soil out of which came the incarnate Word of God. How pure, how beautiful. But you can see the background. And nearly every one of these kings was a crook. That's supposed to encourage us. You see? Then, and Joseph, of course, is the legal father of Jesus. He's of the line of David through his father, even though he's conceived, by the Holy Spirit. That's why when, just imagine Mary telling Joseph about the angel and about the prophecy and about her vocation. Joseph was so awed. You see, this says, was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame. I'm not going to go through the translation of it. It's all right. Decided to divorce her quietly. In other words, it was just beyond him. Mary, so clear, so pure, so said Joseph, the Holy Spirit has overshadowed me, and I have conceived the Messiah. He said, that's too much for me. I'm not worthy of all that. Remember how Peter, when Jesus filled that boat with fish, and Peter said, got it. There's something going on here. He said, just get away from me, please. I'm a sinful man. I got no business dealing with this. And Jesus said, don't worry about that. I'll make you a fisher of men. Well, imagine Joseph. A righteous, holy man. And Mary explains to him, he says, oh. So that's why he wanted, this is too much for me. I mean, I'm not supposed to be involved in this stuff. And so the angel came Remember what the angel said to him. First, son of David, and then, do not be afraid to take Mary. It's okay. Yes, she has conceived by the power of God. But you are supposed to take care of her and her son. Well, why do we have this gospel today, then? It seems to all go down to Joseph. Mary would be very happy with that, actually. Because we celebrate the mystery of how God makes present. You see, you've got all these crooks, and then you have Mary, immaculately conceived. That's to give us hope. That's to give us hope. It's also to give Jesus a proper mother. The mother has such an influence from the moment she holds that child, the moment she's carrying that child. All that time, he's receiving influence from her, all the basic primal images of his psyche come from her, right? His whole idea of humanity comes from her. And so you see, she had to be immaculate. I mean, or she would pass on all her sinful, get mad at him and, you know. No, his upbringing had to be perfect. So, she was conceived immaculately and then born like today. Every time we do one of these feasts of Our Lady, especially this one and the Immaculate Conception, I remember, oh boy, now I'm probably going back almost 60 years. And we had Don Geja, the great cantor of Solem. Solem is the founder of the whole rebirth of Gregorian chant. And Geja was the cantor there. He also turned out to be like my grandfather. I mean, I lived over there at Solem, learning chant and so forth. And he put on my white cowl and made me put on his black cowl. Now, you don't know Solem. Solem is Solem. It's very solemn. And all the monks are watching him. You know, I got his black Benedictine cowl, and he's got my white Cistercian cowl on, and I'm singing in the Schola at Solem. I never say this. I sang in the Schola at Solem because it implies much greater talent than I have. You know, it was more. Anyhow, Geja was with us up in Spencer. And we were doing the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which the antiphon which opens up the feast is, rejoicing, I will rejoice in the Lord. Gaudens, Gaudebo in Domino. Which Gajar said, because you see, this wasn't just music for him. This was liturgy. I wish I could make that make sense. Anyway, he said, the church sings that because at the moment of her conception, or whenever it was, when Mary, in the womb, realized she'd been conceived immaculately, she burst into this song. Gives you another vision of Mary, doesn't it? You know? Why are we dumb? Sin. If you don't have any sin, you're not dumb. And so, she's not dumb. You know, she saw what God had done for her. She had no idea what it was all about. Maybe she did, until the angel came. In other words, we celebrate today the most optimistic reality among us, Mary. So you would think, you know, being the Queen of Heaven, immaculately conceived, the Mother of God, all whatever you want, you'd have to get an appointment to see her. But it's just the opposite. Just the opposite. so highly endowed that if every one of us started talking to her right now, at the same time, about different stuff, she wouldn't get mixed up. Think about that. And her love for us. And we should listen to her. How many times has the Lord sent her? Again, the mystery of presence. To tell us to pray. To say the rosary. To lift the weight of darkness and sin that we have pulled down on ourselves in this human race. To lift it. So today is a day like of... I woke up this morning thinking, what a great thing that we have Mary. You know, Mary is among us. Mary, you know, God's gift here. Mother of my son, fine. But you're mother too.